Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, time to turn to our man, Chip Towers from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC.com. Chip, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm fantastic.
Excellent, excellent. How was the trip to Nashville?
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, me and, 29,999 other people at least. And there was a lot going on in that town, as I told y'all last week, and that was definitely the scene there. Concerts on the lawn, and the Tennessee State Classic going. There were people everywhere, but there was more Georgia people than anything else. And so once again, the Bulldog Nation, as it were, made a good showing, made a good impression for Kirby to recruit to. It definitely didn't hurt their situation.
Well, yeah, there was indeed a lot going on, and it was a Georgia takeover. And you've been to Nashville 1,000 times, and it's already – I mean, the Vandy game's going to be a Georgia takeover anyway, but it felt different this time to me. I don't know about you, but, it felt like an extra takeover, if that's a good way of putting it.
Well, I think it's always – if you look, whether it's Alabama or LSU or Georgia, or Tennessee – when they go there and play Vanderbilt, they take over the stadium, and that's a combination of Vanderbilt's fan base versus the other fan bases, the way Vanderbilt sets up their ticket. Vanderbilt knows this is not a surprise to them, and they take advantage of it, financially and such. But it seemed even more than usual. I think in most of those cases, the visiting team would be, two-thirds, 66% or something like that. But I don't know. It looked like 75%. By the end of the game, a lot of the Vanderbilt fans had left. And so it was almost completely red. And that's kind of been the Georgia style here lately. And they're holding up that reputation well.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC.com.
All right, Chip, I know you've had a time to deep dive into this thing, and we've asked a couple folks on the show this week, are Georgia fans spoiled is the way to look at it, because not everybody, but there is a contingent of folks out there that aren't satisfied with a 30-6 victory on the road. What were your just initial takeaways from the game itself, and could Georgia have done more if Georgia wanted to do more? And I'm not convinced they did.
Well, it's more than the score, really. I think any of us who watch it closely, like we have to, it simply comes down to possessions, and you're just, chronicling what they do. And Georgia obviously didn't do as much as they could have done with the disparity in talent and strength. But that said, it's a first game. It's exactly what you think. They don't play preseason football in college football, and I think that's obvious the first couple of games of the year. How long is it we've been saying the most improvement teams make is from the first game to the second, mm-hmm. And that's the reason. I actually thought Kirby answered this really well the other day when he was talking about, he thinks anxiety plays a lot into it, because a lot of those players that are trotting out on the field are either – doing it for the first time or haven't done it much or haven't done it in a year. And there's all that to be considered. I don't think Georgia rolled out, everything they got. That wouldn't be very wise in the first game anyway, and I think on those first couple of drives, those are scripted. Those are scripted plays by and large when you get in there early on. And Georgia, comes in with their first couple of play scripts and just drove the ball right down their throat. After that, I thought they waffled around a little bit. I thought they got away from some things a little bit. And then, of course, Vanderbilt adjusted. The loss in all that is always the other team. And Derek Mason is a very accomplished defensive coach, and yeah, you see what Georgia's doing, and then you make an adjustment. And then how much Georgia adjusts the other way. I think a lot of times, and when it looks like you got an overmatched team, Kirby doesn't go too deep on the old playbook. He says let's just try to overpower them, and if you don't, that's okay. So I mean, I didn't take a ton out of the game. I mean, I think 30-6 conference game on the road is a good win, no matter how you slice it up. It's very Alabama-like, very similar to what they've done over the years. They don't always go 66-3. It's not necessary in a lot of cases, and I don't think it was necessary this past Saturday.
Although it is funny, the last time Alabama played in that stadium, Vandy did not run a play across the or didn't start a play on their side of the 50. So it's Alabama's side of the 50. So
wasn't there a little trash mouth involved in that? I'm trying to remember. The Vanderbilt players said something.
Yeah,
about
that was Alabama. Vandy had come off. Was that when Vandy had come off that win over Kansas State or something? And then. Somebody ran their mouth, and next thing you know, it's like, don't poke the bear. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, after the Kansas State game, a couple of guys came out and said, yeah, we're, bring on Bama. And
yeah, it's like.
Bama said, okay, we're here.
Don't do that. That's probably not a great thing to do there.
It was
sure.
It was Vandy, one of their players said, Alabama, you're next.
You're next, that's coming right. Up. Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's and not good.
That's all they need, you know, that's all they need. And. You know, that's kind of like the Murray State coach here just yesterday, I guess it was, Mitch Stewart, promised everybody on the OVC conference call that, you know, that Murray State was going to play harder than Georgia. They were going to win the effort, you know. And it's like, well, great call, coach. Now you just got a bunch of Bulldogs fired up. Yeah, well, we'll
but
show
you. I appreciated that though. I want to hear that from an FCS coach coming in here.
Yeah, I'll get out my play harder measuring stick and see who wins the game that way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, how do you quantify that? We're gonna play harder than they are. All I know is I'll say this, Chip. Murray State's going from playing Pikeville to Georgia in 7 days. And this is where some people might say this is dangerous when the FCS teams are playing the FBS teams, especially the cream of the crop FBS teams. What is your view on these kind of games?
I actually agree with you that day. And I was actually one of the points I was going to make with you guys this morning is, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to physics sometimes, right? You know, and when you're talking about Ben Cleveland and Isaiah Wilson, and I know Isaiah Wilson is injured and may not play now. I'm sure Mitch Stewart is, wiping his brow and glad about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, let's think about this. You know, Isaiah Wilson is 6'7", 360 pounds. And whoever's playing defensive tackle for Murray State, and I don't know who that is going to be, what, best 6'2", 260, something like that? And you run a little slam edge play, and you know, there's a lot of things that can buckle. So, you know, I get it, and Kirby talks about it, and I do believe that teams like this are in danger of going away in the near future just because of the way college football has changed. There's not as many of these games to happen anymore, not as many. You get one of them per team, and not all of them take advantage of that. But the financial windfall, I get that. I mean, Murray State can fund their entire athletic department for the rest of the year off the $1 million they'll make on this game. But at the end of the day, I mean, who, if it wasn't for the Dooley Field situation, who really would care anything at all about seeing this? I mean, at all. Nobody. I mean, nobody is interested in seeing this at all. Unless, you know, somehow Murray State were to make it competitive, you know, that'd be really interesting. That would get you on Sports Center.
Well, we've seen it before in 2016, but I know that's not even completely, you know, comparable to what we're seeing right now with this Georgia team.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is as close to impossible as anything is. What was the line? 50, 55 points?
Yeah,
something like 50.
By the way, Bama's a 55-point favorite against New Mexico State. And they're FBS, so I mean, it's just these games are crazy. They really are.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't care for them, but I understand it. The NFL, doesn't go play the Canadian League, right? You know, for 1 week.
Yeah.
People don't like the comparisons of college football to NFL, but that's what it is now. Power Five football and NFL, just NFL junior. And anytime you get out of that league, even when you're playing, non Power Fives, now that's a little bit of a different discussion. But when you go to FCS, I do think it can be dangerous. Sometimes, and look, I'm not saying that's why it happened, but I mean, just even Devin Gales and what happened in that game, he collided with a kicker, and it didn't come out well. So that could happen, in FBS versus FBS,
yeah.
But it's just that, I mean, I do think that the odds go up, that somebody could get hurt, particularly on the FCS side.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC.com. All right, Chip, I am I'm very fond of Coach Dooley. I know you are as well, worked with him for a long time. What does this mean to finally see the field named in his honor?
Well, I think it's a long time coming. I mean, you and I have been friends a long time, and I don't know how long I've come on this show, but I know going back to 2004 when Coach Dooley retired, it's been an initiative that I was behind that something at the stadium should be named for Vince Dooley. Now, I still wasn't against them putting his name on the actual stadium itself.
Same here.
Dooley Stadium or Dooley Sanford Stadium, because there's just facts. All right, I'm a journalist, and it's objectivity. And I get everything that Stedman B. Sanford did, and that is not to be belittled. His name should never be gone from the stadium, because it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Stedman B. Sanford, who went out and raised money personally to have that stadium built in 1929. But since 1929, it's Vince Dooley at every. There's more Vince Dooley. As I was talking to Lauren for the story that appeared today, we've got a 4-part series. The fourth part ran this morning on the politics that were involved to make this happen, which is ridiculous that it took politics to make this happen. But there's more Dooley than Sanford on this stadium now. But, that was a 30,000-seat bowl that Sanford had done. Every expansion since then, Vince Dooley's either been the coach or the athletic director overseeing it. In 1966, it gets double-decked because he won the SEC championship. In 1981, it gets, the East End gets filled in because of the national championship Georgia won. And then the sustained success after that is why they put Sky Suites on top of it and kept expanding to the size it is now, 92,746. But, Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium has a nice ring to it, and it's a fitting honor. And, you'll see Saturday, really Friday night, there's an unbelievable laundry list of former Georgia players coming back to honor their coach, and they'll be on the field before the game. And as Mark Bradley wrote, if your listeners hadn't had a chance to read it, Mark Bradley just has a great column on Coach Dooley, the man, the many layers that there are to him, the historian, the gardener, the football coach, the athletic director. He has a great column in the AJC that's worth a quick read for sure.
Very good stuff. And even going back to the good old days of when I'm sure you got one winning a red blazer at the old Dooley Pass golf tournament.
I still have my red blazer in my closet.
I got one somewhere too.
I ever wore it. I don't think I ever wore it any time, but I did. I am so proud to say I won that red blazer. I forget what year it was, but it was a long time ago.
And I am too. And I'll say this, so Logan probably doesn't know what we were talking about. They had there was a media. It turned into. I mean, it was a good idea and it was a great idea. And then it just there were so many people involved. But originally, it was the media would go and it was a fun weekend for a lot of folks. But they would invite the media, and if you were a media member and you won and you had the low score in the golf tournament, you won a red blazer. And this was back in the 90s. I won because I was – and you could only win it once. That was the thing. So I was like –
that's what helped my call.
I was going to say, I was like the 10th person that year down in the media list that hadn't won it. So I got the Red Blazer one year because I was like 10th of the media. But, man, I'm like, Chip, I'm like – I was so proud of that thing. I had my Red Blazer. And
I expect both you boys to wear it on Saturday.
You know, that would be a pretty good little testament there to Coach Dooley.
I'm afraid I might not fit in mine.
I was going to say, I know I'm not going to fit in mine, but
excellent.
I'm still very proud of that. But just those fun kind of things from over the years. And those are some great points, too, about the stadium expansion. And I hadn't even, you know, considered that. But you're absolutely right as far as all that goes.
It's seven expansions in all that took place under Dooley's guidance, you know, or at his hand. You got to think, and I'll share this with you guys because I just think it's hilarious. I haven't even written this yet, but Coach Dooley was telling me when I was talking to him for this, I was asking him. I said, "Well, what do you remember about when you showed up at Georgia?" It says December of 1963, he's hired. And he shows up at Sanford Stadium, you know, checking out the situation. And it wasn't until he entered that first season of 1964 that he realized at halftime of the game, the field house that they had, the cinder block field house they had down there for the locker room for the team to use at halftime was not big enough to hold the entire team. So you would... So at halftime, only the people who were actually playing in the game were permitted in the locker room. Can you imagine the shame of the other players who, you know, weren't able to get in the game? They had to stay outside. Take a knee out here, boys. We got to go in here and talk about what we're going to do in the second half.
I bet there's 1,000 of those kind of stories. You know, that's the thing, too, just all of that kind of stuff.
Hey, Chip, by the way, great. Go ahead, Chip.
No. I was just agreeing with Dave.
I was going to say, great job on your four-piece series that you put together at AJC.com this week about Dooley. If you don't mind, without giving away all of the article, because I do want people to head over there and read everything you wrote, but what were just some of the political things that had to happen in order to make this possible this coming Saturday?
Well, the bottom line is the Dooleys and Governor Brian Kemp are close, and what fast track? I think this would eventually happen in some way or another. But you know, Coach Dooley turned 87 yesterday. You guys did a good job of drawing attention to his birthday and everything else. And so, you know, the players, the Letterman actually behind the scenes had a lot to do with getting all this to happen. And they, and of course Barbara Dooley and his family. Had hoped that if something like this were to happen, that he would be around to enjoy it. And of course, Coach Dooley is in great shape and in very, very much in great health and all that. So, but in order to make it happen, you know, some people had to get out of the way. And you know, essentially, I mean, you know, and this is spelled out in the story, but Don Lieburn. Being on the Board of Regents and being also chairman of the Facilities Committee had held up any type of motion to have Dooley's name placed on the stadium up until this point. And Brian Kemp's appointment is election as governor of the state of Georgia. He removed Don Lieburn and Richard Tucker, the co-chairman of the Facilities Committee from that body, and then you know a proposal was made by Jerry Moorhead, and that it was unanimously approved this past May. So it's unfortunate that something like that had to happen. And for the record, you know, Don Lieburn says that he's for Dooley Field. He was not for having Dooley's name on the stadium, and there's a reason behind that. The Sanford family, and this is spelled out as well. Had not wanted any other names on it, and it comes down to money, like anything else. You know, in addition to Stedman v. Sanford having been responsible for that stadium even being there in the first place, Charles Sanford, who was his grandson, donated a lot of money to the Terry College, which ended which resulted in the naming of Sanford Hall, the student center for the business school. And he made it clear in no uncertain terms that he didn't, not only did he not care to see a name beside his grandfather's on the stadium, but he didn't think the field should be named for anybody either. And this was not directed at Dooley necessarily. It was just that, and so people, a lot of times people give their money in order to have their influence on things. And the people involved in getting that money raised from Charles Sanford were committed to seeing his wishes carried out. Now, whether it's related or not, Charles Sanford passed away a year ago, and the Sanford family most of the men in that family are no longer with us. And, so whether that's related as well, I don't know. But I think, the fact that Dr. Adams is no longer the president, Don Lieberman is no longer on the Board of Regents, and Brian Kemp is now governor, had everything to do with this being able to happen right now this year.
Yeah, and I mean, you're absolutely right about all of that. And Brian Kemp, being an Athens guy, being a Georgia guy, the previous governor was not a Georgia guy, or not a University of Georgia guy. So there wasn't as much of a maybe, I don't know, trying to get it done quicker than maybe there could have been. But wouldn't you agree, short answer to all of that is politics kept his name out of the stadium and politics got his name back into the stadium?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And not to be lost in this, but Vince and Barbara Dooley are very good friends with the Kemp family.
Yeah.
And grew up together. And when Brian Kemp entered the governor's race, they didn't hesitate. They were, they're staunch Republicans, and they have a lot of political sway. And of course, they backed Brian Kemp from the very beginning when they could have gone in other directions in that party. That was a contested primary. So just the fact that the Dooleys, stood firm and strong behind Brian Kemp from the very beginning, that's a big deal in politics as well, and that's how political favors get done.
Chip, man, I could keep talking about this all morning long. This is interesting stuff to me with all of the Dooley stuff. Didn't mean to keep you as long as we did. I always enjoy the Thursday chats, and look forward. I haven't had a chance to read the series, but I definitely am going to do that today. So good work on all of that, and we will see you on Saturday, my man.
I appreciate it. We'll see you at Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium.
There you go. Thanks, Chip.
All right.
Chip Towers from the AJC.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.